5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's upstairs getting ready to go to bed. The first thing she's going to do is hit some of that Indica Bubby's cookies in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags, the bread to dress in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. I'm a finna come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, tides of town, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell, along with Mafia. The toll free number is 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. So, I just watched the Knicks struggle all night with the Spurs at the Garden, but they did win by 4, 102-98. The Knicks get it done. Meanwhile, the Heat also winners. They rocked the Sixers tonight in Miami, 106-94. Miami wins it. So I just want to look to see if they've updated these standings because the Knicks and Heat have the exact same record. They still have the Knicks in the sixth spot. They're both 39 and 31. They're both 8 games out. They're a half game behind Atlanta in the 4, but they still have the Knicks in the sixth slot, meaning if it were to end today, they would still face the Bucks in the first round. I think the last 2 games for the Knicks are going to be crucial no matter what, against the Hornets Saturday and Sunday against the Celtics. Both games are at the Garden. And I just want to see what Miami's remaining games are. At Milwaukee Saturday, at Detroit Sunday. So I think the Knicks have the edge there with both games at the Garden. And the Heat having to go on the road to Milwaukee. I think the game in Detroit, Miami will win that on Sunday. But you never know. After playing the Bucks on Saturday, to have to go to Detroit Rock City and play the Pistons is a drag the very next day. So the back-to-backs for both teams Saturday and Sunday, the Knicks get to sleep in their beds. It's as simple as that. So I still think they got an edge. They got to win those games. They're important. And I'm telling you, I'd rather play the Hawks than the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs, if you ask me. And in that game tonight for Miami in the win, I mean, they held Joel Embiid to 6 points tonight in 25 minutes. I mean, what the hell happened there? That just makes no sense to me at all. He went 3 of 9 from the floor, 0-2 from downtown, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 6 points. I mean, what, did he get thrown out or something? Like, I don't understand that. As for the Heat, Butler had 21, 5, and 4. Adebayo, 18 and 12, the double-double. And your boy, the Dragon, had 15, 3, and 6 dimes. Also, Nunn had 13. Ariza had 10. Robinson hit 1-3 in the game, played 26 minutes, went 1 of 7, all from downtown, hit one of them. He had 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. That's a terrible game for him. So, but the Heat win the game. That's a huge win for them. They have the same record as the Knicks. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 San Diego, and Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. It's Pharrell on a bench on a Thursday night. So big win for the Heat. As for the Knicks, I mean to tell you, what a struggle. They were down 16 to the Spurs in the third quarter, getting their ass handed to them. DeRozan ended up with 27. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but not bad. 10 of 18, 8 rebounds, 4 dimes for DeRozan. He's a badass still to this day. Murray had 14. Johnson had 13. Walker had 12. Eubanks 8. Gay 8. Mills 6. But for the Knicks, Randall ended up with 25. But the big night, Alec Burks, he had 30, including 5 threes, 10 rebounds, 2 dimes, 30 and 10. The double-double for Alec Burks. He had missed 11 of 13 games, came back, and as Clyde Frazier said, he had the WD-40 out. No rust. He was stroking. 5 threes. Barrett hit 5 threes. He had 24, 9 and 5. Randall, 25, 9, and 9, missing the triple-double by a board and a dime. He hit 1-3, 7 of 21 from the floor. The Knicks get it done, down 16 in the third. They win it by 4, the world's most famous.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Speaking of kicking ass, the Clippers blew out the Hornets tonight, 113-90 in Charlotte. I'm surprised they got bent over like that. My God. They were getting like 8.5 and they get spanked by that much. And then the Bucks beat the Pacers by, 9, 142-133, a wild game there. Pacers, I think, were getting 8.5. They didn't cover by a hook. Go figure. The Bulls by 12 over the Raptors. They covered the 9. Blazers and Suns getting set to go in the Valley. I think today on Coast to Coast, they reported that Ayton was either doubtful or something like that tonight. We'll see if he goes. And then going on right now, the Nuggets are up 10 on the T-Wolves with 2 minutes left in Minneapolis. And the Kings lead the Grizzlies 110-106 in Memphis with 2.5 minutes left in the game. That's a huge upset there, the Kings winning in Memphis, if you ask me. I mean, it's not that drastic, but it is an upset. The Kings are awful. And the Grizzlies have had a decent season. Right now they're in the play-in, so it is what it is. The Kings aren't in anything. The Kings are 7 games under 500, but they're winning with 2.5 minutes to go. So I'm going to be into this Blazer game. They've won 5 in a row. and they're hot. And but they're coming off a game last night, and so now they got to turn around and they had to hit the road and go to Phoenix. Not that drastic of a trip from Portland down to Phoenix, but it is what it is. They can clinch a playoff berth with a win, but they're taking on CP3 and D-Book in Phoenix. Not going to be easy. I know that much. Coming up in a few minutes, we got Brian Blessing to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, he's in Vegas. He does Sportsbook Radio from 2 to 4 Eastern every day on Sports Grid Radio and on Sirius XM. And Light the Lamp Sundays, midnight Eastern, with Cam Stewart on Sports Grid Radio as well. And didn't we hear him the other day, Mafia, in the Pete DeBoer press conference, giving Pete DeBoer the business? I love that guy, Blessing. I'll have to ask him about that. I know he was questioning the coach.
He was questioning I think it was about the game's not mattering or something like that, and he just gave him, like, you know, the brush-off answer. He's like, yeah, whatever. Just moved on. Didn't care. Right by
him. Just said, like, next question. He wouldn't even answer it. So, but I like him. The stones he shows going for it, right? Just to ask him. I think that guy, DeBoer, he's got the personality of a rock. I mean, have you ever seen that guy? I mean, we showed him in the press conference the other day on Coast to Coast. My God, is that guy boring? I mean, the personality they gave him when they brought him out of the shop. My God. Anyway, so we were talking today on the show about Melo, and I can't get over, to be honest with you, what he does. And I know, you know, we were talking. And earlier it was like, you know, we were getting into all this talk with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian about the Blazers and talking about how fans had, like, turned on him this year when he was going through a stretch where they said he wasn't defending and he plays terrible defense and he was cold as ice and they should cut him and get rid of him. And meanwhile, the franchise has no plans at all, nor did they in the middle of the season, had zero inkling to get rid of him. And I don't see any reason to get rid of him. I think the guy's been incredible. I love watching him play to this very day. I mean, you can say whatever you want about him. He's this, he's that, he's old, blah, blah, blah. But in my opinion, he's giving you, you know, almost 14 points a game, 3 boards, a dime and a half. And he's averaged 11.5 against Phoenix. And he's averaged, you know, almost 14 points a game the last 10. And on the road, he's averaged 13 points. Career 23 points, but he's dropping, you know, almost 14 points a game this year in Portland. Those are big buckets. Those are big points. Those are quality minutes, averaging 24 minutes a game, shooting 42.5% from the floor, 41% from downtown, almost 89% from the stripe. I mean, my God, have a block a game, almost a steal a game. I mean, my God, you can't deny he's still good, Mafia. You cannot deny when he backs someone down and he's got the rock on the elbow or on the wing. He just bodies him down. He's so big and he can back you down and then turn around and stick a step back in your face or, you know, spin drag the pivot foot, get down on the baseline, either pop or set up shop and step back from there. He can get right to the baseline and get up in the air and finish, or get to the baseline, pop back and get space and shoot it over you. One way or the other, the guy gets his shots off and he knocks him down. My favorite play that he runs is when he's on the wing at, you know, top of the wing on the three ball line. And he gives the ball to Lillard or to McCollum, sets the screen, rolls off the screen, is left open on the wing for that, you know, long distance, like 23, 24 foot dagger on the wing in front of the coach. Like, he'll stand right on that sideline, right under that coach's feet, and he just sticks a dagger from downtown, like right off the pick and roll screen on the three. It's amazing. I think it's utterly amazing. And, you know, he comes off the bench. He knows his role. He knows the gig. He knows the deal. He does what he does. And then he comes out and he just starts knocking down shots. He rarely, if ever, misses games. I know he's missed one in the last week or whatever. He was banged up. But for the most part, he had played about 60 straight games without missing, unless I'm mistaken. So the guy always shows up. The guy always produces. The guy always scores. You know, people say he doesn't play any defense. You know, I'll give you laterally, he's not the fastest guy in the world anymore. He's also up there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's very few, if you ask me, legit defenders in the league. I think there's very few guys and very few teams that play straight up Jack D, like no joke D. The Knicks, believe it or not, nobody wants to hear it, but the Knicks have the best D in the league against the two ball and three ball. So they play hard all night. They were down 16 tonight. They went on a 21-2 run over like 7-8 minutes. And they did it with stops and defense. The stops predicated the transition buckets. And you don't see teams, in my opinion, they just stand there and play phony ass D. They don't legitimately play D. And people blame Melo for not playing D. You got to be kidding me. I mean, you remember when D'Antoni was in New York? They never played D once. They played D with Thibodeau. But a lot of teams don't play any D at all. It's all about threes and offense and scoring and running it up and shooting bombs. And that's just all there is to it. So we're settling into this game, 11-9 Suns early in Phoenix against the Blazers. And Brian Blessing coming up from Vegas. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
No two for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Brian Blessing, I told you, is here, and you can check him out every day, 2 to 4 on Vegas Sportsbook Radio, on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, on everywhere, all of our affiliates, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, and he does Light the Lamp on Sundays, midnight with our boy Cam Stewart, Toronto's finest, on Sports Grid Radio as well. We always like hooking up with Bless. What's happening, Brian? How you doing, brother, man?
When are we getting you out here? When are you coming back out?
I'm ready, man. Believe me, I'm vaccinated. I'm ready to rock and roll, lock and load. Like, if they can get anything going out there, a fight, a big fight, like, you know, boxing, and then, you know, Stanley Cup Finals. We got to get them to Sports Grid to send us to the Stanley Cup Finals because, you know, Vegas might be there. What do you think of... Well, first of all, I think the Avs, they're up 2-1 right now and on the Kings in the second, about 7 left. I said, you know, like, obviously, I thought they'd beat the Kings tonight, win the West, win the President's bad luck trophy, and then Vegas can go on about their business of winning the West and winning the Stanley Cup because that thing's the kiss of death, if you ask me, that stupid President's Cup. I don't care what anybody says. And you knew they'd get it done tonight, right?
Oh, my God, they were a $4.60 favorite. And I will tell you this, after 20 minutes, this Grosnick kid playing between the pipes for the Kings, he looked like Dominic Hasek's long-lost nephew. Make it 3-1. The Avs scored again. So they tilted the ice on him. They were out shooting him mightily. So Colorado's going to get it done, Scott. And it's been, you would think, a collision course for Vegas and Colorado for the next few years, you would think. Although I'll tell you, Minnesota and St. Louis, specifically St. Louis of all teams, they've got their act together here at the back end of the season. And, you know, you're a year removed from winning the Cup. This is weird. It's like the year they won the Cup. They were horrible, and then they got their act together. I don't think St. Louis is an easy out at all.
Yeah, they're kicking ass tonight. I bet them tonight against the Wild in Art City. They're up 7-3 right now. We were talking on the show the other day on Coast to Coast. We had a guy on from NHL.com that covers the Blues about, you know, where they are. They gave Bennington that big deal, and they basically had to work their ass off to make the playoffs, which they did. They got in. They're in now. But you're right. They're playing really good hockey right now, and you know the deal. They also that Wild team plays great in their building. I'm not a buyer of the Wild on the road. Again tonight, down 4 goals. They just lost 7-3. So that game's in the books, but the Wild are really tough in mini at the XL. And explain to me, it seems like they're the only team in the entire league. And I know they're just playing in their division, but they're the only team that seems to give the Vegas Golden Knights problems.
And that's in their 4-year franchise history. Minnesota's been their kryptonite. That being said, and everybody's saying, oh, no, they're playing the Wild. Well, if you can't beat the Wild, then you're not even in the discussion to win the Stanley Cup. So it's just been one of these weird years. The West is such a top-heavy division. Scott, this is such a squirrely thing. You know, you look at all the points you rack up, and you look at the bottom four, the California teams, it's been a nightmare. And, you know, now the season starts all over. Vegas is banged up a little bit. Pacioretty's a real big concern. Hasn't played in a while, and it's been all quiet on his front. But he's the one guy that Vegas can count on to put the puck in the net. They've got a lot of depth. Vegas has the edge in goal most nights. They've got the 1-2 punch between the pipes. But the one thing with Vegas, the other night, the game against the Avs, they threw the sink at the Avs. And it basically cost them the President's Trophy. They threw the sink at the Avs, playing 3 forwards short, but they couldn't finish. And if you'd have thrown Canucks jerseys on the Avs on Monday night, that looked like every game Vegas played in the bubble last summer. They tilted the ice on teams, but they couldn't score. And that's the one concern with Vegas is they tend to start squeezing the stick and the offense goes cold as a group. If they get a hot streak at the right team, at right time, look out. But they also go cold at the same time. So can they score enough goals?
They certainly lit up that crappy Shark team last night or whatever, 6-0. So you had DeBoer in that presser. We played your clip. We love you, and we played your clip because we're blessed fans. We're blessed to know you, and we ran it, and we're like, look at our boy Bless giving DeBoer the business, and then he wasn't having any of it. He's just like, next question. He wouldn't even deal with you. Do you get along with him, or is he reminds me of like a garage door, his personality, you know, it's like standing, looking at your garage door.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is, Scott, I defend him, for that. I know what was going on. Listen, he was upset. He knew they blew the President's Trophy, I think. And he's like, any of you guys, I'm not dealing with any negatives tonight. And then they called on me next. And I'm like, well, okay. But you lost 2-1, and the goal you lost on, you got caught in a bad line change. Next question, and he's out of there. He didn't want any part of it. Scott, the funny thing is, you do this every minute, every day of your life. I do this every minute, every day of my life. And sometimes it's the most simple thing. It's right in front of your nose. And I'm driving home from work today, and I'm talking to my wife, and she's talking about the game tonight. Like, you know, they're going to watch the game tonight. If Vegas wins the President's Trophy, these guys each get $30,000 a man. Well, the Avs are going to win it. But she said it, and it dawned on me. Of course, the guy's in a rotten mood. If you think about it, he's 10 minutes removed from probably losing a six-figure bonus for winning the President's Trophy in his contract, don't you think?
Probably. I mean, I don't know about all that, but you're probably right. They all get bonuses. I know, like, in regards to, like, the Knicks or whatever, Randall got close to a mil for making the All-Star game, and he got a mil for making the playoffs. So it was like 950 grand each. So the same thing. They probably got the same thing going in Vegas with the hockey team and all these contracts. You're probably right. I mean, what are you going to do? I don't want that trophy, though, Bless. Well, I don't want that trophy.
No, take a mallet to it. It is. It's a black cloud. You want no part of it. And then the funny thing on that is I could care less. It's no big deal. I think part of these guys, you know the coach speak. He's sticking up for his guys, and he's sending messages, and he was in a rotten mood. That stuff happens. And all these people are saying to me, geez, boy, what happened? And I'm like, what happened? I go, it's candy land around here. You go to Buffalo or Toronto or Boston in a hockey market, the questions these guys get asked on a nightly basis. I'm like, hey, I dealt with Scotty Bowman every day for like four seasons. Like, I said, you think that bothers me? Scotty Bowman was the ultimate Sigmund Freud.
Right. He was a tough one. I dealt with him in Pittsburgh, obviously legend. So let me ask you this question, Bless. What are they, undefeated in overtimes, the Knights, this year? That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's actually the rub. That's the good news. The bad news is that's why Colorado, they just scored again, by the way, 4-1 Colorado with the tiebreaker. Because Vegas got so many points in overtime, the tiebreaker actually goes to Colorado. But, yeah, they were really special in overtime. But you and I know, bud, you know, 3-on-3 is really fun and goofy, but it's no longer part of the equation. And, oh, by the way, Cammy and I say this all the time. Lose the shootout, will you? I mean, that's the most boring, stupid thing. 3-on-3 is up and exciting, and the fans are going nuts, and then you stop the game to a screeching halt to watch that nonsense. Go to a 3-2-1 format. 3 for a regulation win, 2 for an overtime win. You know, just you get rid of the shootout. It's a joke.
How many fans are they going to let into the T-Mobile for the playoffs?
Well, basically, the city's at 100%, but the arena, the deal they cut is 50%. And I believe there was 7,400 at the game the other night. So as of today, I think moving forward for now, 7,400 would be the number. And believe me, that's a loud barn. So 7,400 is pretty strong.
So let me get this straight. All right. So today the CDC said if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask anymore, in or out, indoors or outdoors. You can do whatever you want. You're good to go. You're not going to get sick. Anything could happen. You could still get it, but you're not going to get sick. And they're saying, you're telling me that after all of that, that, you know, they're still only going to let 7,000 and change into that building for the Stanley Cup playoffs and the rest of the city's at 100%. Like, what the hell's going on at that arena? Well, I'll tell you what, let me break and we'll come back. Think about that for a second. Explain that to me when we come back. What is going on there? Like everywhere else, the casinos are open, the strips are, everybody's partying everywhere, but you can't put, you know, 15 in there at least. That's crazy to me. I don't understand. So we're talking to Brian Blessing of Sports Grid Radio. You love his show. We're talking Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to talk about the East as well with Bless coming up on the bench. Don't go anywhere.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're always blessed to have Bless on the show, Brian Blessing, Badass Vegas, Sportsbook Radio, and then he does the Sunday night gig with Cam Stewart, who's a trip in himself. But tell me, explain this to me again, because I think that sucks, that rule. Like today they told us, go ahead. If you're vaccinated, do whatever you want, make out with people. And then, you know, go anywhere you want and get crazy. And then now you're telling me that Vegas is 100%, but they're only letting 7,400 into the building. What the Pharrell is that about? I don't understand it. Like, if it's 100%, then why not fill it up for the playoffs?
Okay, they're saying 50% for the playoffs, 9,200 for upon further review. And, you know, the bottom line, still have spacing deals in the building. I think part of it, Scott, is if you watch behind the benches where they've basically taken down the glass behind the benches, quote unquote, for ventilation. And then there are the colored tarps in the lower bowl, so the fans aren't right on top of the players. So they're saying 9,200, but that's basically 55-60% capacity. You want me to sort all this stuff out? You kidding me? I mean, since the day this thing started, you have a clue what's the right answer?
I have no idea about anything. I just know that arena is the best arena in sports. I've been to every arena in sports, and that is the best arena, hands down, and the best NHL experience, hands down. And I know they're getting excited in Seattle, but that old Key Arena, there's no way it can hold a candle to the T-Mobile for hockey, for UFC, for boxing, and the atmosphere, that setting, where it is on the strip, where it is with all those bars around there and restaurants and all those people. It's a Shangri-La, and the atmosphere in that building is toxic. It is so rowdy and loud in there and crazy. It's like going to a Broadway play with the pregame show. I've never seen anything like it, and they have to take advantage of that. Let me ask you, do you think, Bless, that they will – I mean, we all know what we're headed for, allegedly, is this Avs showdown. They're up 5-1 now, by the way. That's toast. But do you think that when it's all said and done – because I do. I think Vegas is better. I think they're a better team. I think they'll beat them.
Yeah, I mean, Grubauer played great on Monday night. The season series was basically a wash. It's, you know, McKinnon is not 100% healthy today. Pacioretty's nicked up. You know how playoff series go, Scott. I mean, they take on a life of their own, and then it's a battle of attrition, and who's more healthy? I think it's extremely close. I think you do give the edge to Vegas between the pipes. It's awfully close, but I would say this to you. I don't know that it's a gut cinch. I mean it, that both Vegas and Colorado get by either Minnesota or St. Louis. I think the West was extremely top-heavy, and you sit there and you look at the standings and go, well, look at Colorado and Vegas. They were vying for the President's Trophy. The four teams at the bottom of the division are hot garbage. You know, I mean, it's a top-heavy division. And, you know, so I don't know, how good are they really? I mean, you had three teams had a really good season. St. Louis got their act together at the end of the year. Talk to me about what's going on in the East. How about Florida sticking it out? I mean, they didn't turn into the kitty cats, as Cam said. I've been on Carolina from day one. And, oh, by the way, Tampa Bay's going to get the league MVP dropping out of the sky into the lineup for him to start the playoffs. This is going to be a fun tournament.
Do you think Kucherov can actually that he's so great that he's just going to literally put skates on and perform at a level like we're accustomed to seeing? Because I'm not buying that. Last year, Stamkos did the same thing. He played in one game. He scored a goal, and 5 minutes later, he was injured again.
Well, I mean, it's a great question. It's the great unknown. I mean, the other thing is rust, right? The rink rust. But,
right,
you know, Kucherov at 60 or 70% still better than any third line player in the league. So, you know, if he serves, the one thing you can do too is, you know, you can hide a guy like that. So you manage his minutes. And if you only put Kucherov, and that's what they did, I believe, with Stamkos last year. And if you only put this guy out there for the playoffs, he's not going to, or for the power play, he's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll hurt him. I think he'll help him on the power play for sure. But, I mean, it's like anything else. If you don't play hockey every day, I'm telling you, even just like, for instance, like if I play ball every day of my life, right? And I run suicides. I do everything. But when COVID hit, we shut down basketball. I played underground for like 10 months, and then everyone got COVID. And then I stopped playing for 5 months, right? And my wife said she'd cut off my package if I went back and played because I got everybody sick. And the next thing you know, we shut it down, didn't play for 5 months. I finally played last weekend. And I mean, I train every day, dude, to play basketball every day of my life. And I'm not even kidding you. I played for 2 hours on Saturday and 2 hours for Sunday. I went out to dinner Saturday night with my buddy, and I walked into the restaurant like I was literally crippled. I couldn't even lift my legs. My quadriceps were all like shot. My groin, my feet, my feet hurt. And then Sunday I played again, and I got over it, and I'm fine. I'm just saying, if you don't play for a while in anything, and then you just throw on the shoes or throw on the skates and start playing, I think the agony after that game is enough to kill you. So I'm not buying that he's just going to take over and start dominating. I will say this, though. I think they are better than the Panthers. I know the Panthers have had this great season, but you know as well as I do, Bless, what do they ever do in reality? At the end of the day, what do the Panthers ever really do? They've had, what, one great run in their history where they went to the finals? I mean, honestly.
Freaking rats. I know. Hey, by the way, I just want to tell you, I'm proud of you for this stick-to-itiveness. But, I mean, full disclosure, I mean, you're holding yourself to a pretty high bar. I'm worried about your physical stature there. Listen, I gave you full marks, but the reality was that dinner at the end of the night, I mean, you ordered a vodka and Metamucil. I mean, you're not a spring chicken.
Yeah, I know. I'm 56 in July, but I mean, Mafia will tell you, I play more basketball than any dude I know, let alone any 56-year-old dude I know. And I play with 20 and 30-year-olds, and I'm not even saying nothing other than I just play a lot. Like, I constantly am training and playing basketball every day of my life. So I don't know anything about, like I can run suicides, I can lift, I can box, I can run, I can swim, I can do anything. And then I go play basketball for 2 hours, and I'm literally like, you would have thought I needed a walker to get out of like my house. It was awful.
I give you credit. Listen, I sold my Fitbit because I'm good at simple math. I know that it's 19 feet from my recliner to the refrigerator.
Right.
I can handle those kind of numbers.
Listen, I played Sunday and I played last night and I'm fine. I think it was the first day. It was Saturday that got me where I hadn't played in 5 months, and that day got me. I also got bloody blisters on my feet wearing my LeBron 18s. That didn't go over well. So I went back to the Kyries and I played with my bloody blisters. Now I'm normal. I played last night for an hour and a half and I'm fine. No pain, no nothing. But tell me if you think –
Were you knocking shots down?
Bro, I'm knocking shots down like you're drinking shots. Like, I'm knocking shots down from everywhere. Mafia is my witness. I'm draining threes, dragging it right to the 10, inside, outside, whatever you want, whatever you need. But listen, do you think the Penguins lose to the Islanders again? If the Penguins lose to the Islanders again, I'm going to join a Mormon mission.
Well, what I would say to you is, I love Trots. I love their structure. They're going to be a nasty out. They got terrific goaltending, although Varlamov did not practice today. The thing is, with Pittsburgh, you're like, how are they doing this with the goaltending they have? But they're scoring goals left and right. And I'm telling you, the job that Hextall and Burke did, once they took over, the Penguins took off.
Yeah. Do you think Jeff Carter can keep it up? Like, he scored like 9 or 10 goals in 14, 15 games. Do you think that look, it's simple. If this guy keeps scoring like this on that third line, they can beat anybody.
Well, Carter would be putting up numbers like Joe Esposito if he played the Sabres every night.
Listen to him.
He scored all those goals against the Sabres.
Well, that's true, but you guys play all them candy-ass teams, too, you just told me. So, listen, the Sabres, believe it or not, the Sabres, believe it or not, have played good hockey over the last 3 weeks. That's the only 3 weeks they played good hockey in 5 years, but they have played well. How about that kid Eichel saying how much he hates it there? That was great, that press conference. He's like, I'm in it for me now. I don't care what they think.
Oh, thank God. I mean, I'm a lifelong Sabres guy. And, you know, I mean, talk about a travesty. It's been a decade. But at the end, it just tells you how, what Kruger was doing running that team was unbelievable, because all those kids took off at the end of the year. Darlene, who was the first overall pick, he looked like he shouldn't even be playing in the ECHL. All of a sudden, Granato takes over, and Darlene looks like the first pick of the draft again.
Right? That's crazy. So, who wins the Washington-Boston series?
Oh, boy. It would not even be an issue for me if they were healthy. Boston's got the way better goaltending. I think Washington is built to be a real danger and a tough out. You know, but they are a mash unit at the moment. The one thing, Boston's defense, you know, Krug's not there anymore. Char is not there anymore. But the goalie bails them out. They've got great goaltending. Because of the injuries, it's a coin flip. I've got a slight lean to Washington, but the injuries scare me.
Yeah, I'm going Toronto and Edmonton in that Canadian division. What do you think?
Yeah. And Toronto, to Keith's credit, what he did with them, they got their act together a lot better in their own end. Their defense is always sketchy. They got all the firepower, but the goaltending is another question mark with the Leafs. And I think they had a pretty, you know, it was like Candyland for them. Now it's the playoffs. It's a different animal. Yeah, they've got the firepower. But I don't know, man, what happens if they start getting punched in the mouth a little bit. So that's going to be the big challenge, is the gritty aspect of the playoffs for the Leafs. I don't think they're the big stroke on the board favorite everybody thinks they are.
Right. Do you think that, like, when you're betting in the playoffs, like, I like doing, you know, the puck lines in these playoff games. It's crazy because there's so many good games, so many one-goal games and overtime games. If you get the right side on these puck lines in the playoffs, you can make some serious money. I got 40 seconds, respectfully.
I like overs, usually, in the beginning of any series. Game one, I like overs. They go for it. They're starting to build up a hate and an angst for them. And then pending the result of the first game, which tends to be high scoring, the team that loses game one plays it real tight and close to the vest in game two. So I like overs in game one, unders in game two. That's worked for a lot of years, Scott.
All right, Bless, you're the man. Check him out on Vegas Sportsbook Radio every day, 2 to 4 Eastern, and the Light the Lamp Sunday nights, Midnight East, with Cam and Bless. Thanks a lot, Bless. I love you, bro. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk again soon. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, it's Pharrell on the bench. Let's go to Charles and Indy real quick. Charlie, are you the guy that wrote me the letter the other day saying you wanted to be my NASCAR reporter?
Yes, I am.
Listen, Charlie, you can call the show anytime you want and talk NASCAR. I don't have a problem with that. You know I've talked NASCAR with NASCAR George, and I've always bet on Marty Truex every race. I don't have reporters or whatever. I don't control the network or make decisions on who does things at this network. Trust me when I tell you, but you can always call and talk NASCAR with me. You're welcome to do that, but I can't, I told this story last night on the air. I'm not the, you know, headhunter for the network. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest with you. Mafia, yeah. Back me up. I'm not making it up.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I was just going to say that I think that, Kyle Larson really has a good chance of winning this weekend, but, yeah, if you don't want to really talk about NASCAR, that's what Mafia said. But
no, I didn't. That's not true. I don't dislike NASCAR. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I've been to a million races. I love it. I have a good time. It's just, you know, it's not the it's not my priority on the show to talk NASCAR every night. But it doesn't mean I won't talk NASCAR. And look, I think that guy, Larson, has had a really rough time of it that he asked for himself. He dug his own grave. He dropped the N-bomb, and he had to pay the price. but I know he's a great race car driver, and I know he went on the dirt and kicked everyone's ass and earned his way back to NASCAR, and he's won races. So I know he's a badass. He just needs to get his act together with his big fat mouth and what goes on in his head. And if he can get through all that racism and everything else that he dropped, he can get back to racing cars and winning races because he's a great driver. I'm still taking Marty Truex to win the championship.